Welcome to the Learning Reinvented podcast, brought to you by myself, James Politilo, and the team from The Learning Effect. There are lots of learning podcasts out there, so we wanted to do something slightly different. In this episode, we'll be exploring why so much of leadership and management training does not work and how you can change this. To share his views and practical experience of how to change this, I'm delighted to welcome Tom Manning to the podcast. Tom, welcome.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Do you want to start by introducing yourself to our listeners and telling them a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so obviously my name's Tom Manning. I founded the Pathway Academy. And really kind of what we're most interested in is helping organisations get more consistent results, helping managers get more consistent results, teams get more consistent results, more consistent results to a higher standard. That's kind of what floats our boat. And how we do that, or the method at which we are helping organizations do that, is typically some kind of management development training, skill development. But we like to approach that in a bit of a different way than what perhaps traditional management development looks like. So that's what we do as a bit of a background.
Tom, and I know you've had sort of a non-traditional route into that as well, so we'll explore that as we go through the podcast as well. But do you want to start by setting out some of the challenges that are created by some of those more traditional approaches to management development?
Yeah, I think the first challenge really is that we haven't fundamentally changed the general approach for so long that we just keep taking the general approach. And what I mean by the general approach is we go, oh, we need a management development program. So that makes sense, doesn't it? So let's put something together. Either we'll deliver it, we'll get somebody else in to come and deliver it, whatever we're going to do. And then we push people through a program. And at the end, we get some happy sheets and we all celebrate success. And that sounds great. And then fundamentally, not much really changes. And so then a few years later, we kind of go, oh, we should do a management development program, and we start all again. So I think, if anything else, I think it's the absence of another choice that I think is part of the problem, is there's been an absence of a different approach. So we just keep taking the same approach. And often when I talk to people, they resonate with why it's not working. They just haven't had another choice before, so you just assume, well, that's what everybody else is doing, so that's what we'll do.
Yeah, and I mean, when we've spoken in the past, it resonates with a lot of the things I've seen in my career, because I've been into lots of places. You walk in, my role's generally been to either start up or turn around learning functions, and you walk into an established learning function, you look at this stuff and think, what's this achieving? What's the impact of this? But it's almost like, well, that's what we do. That's what we're expected. We're busy. We're churning things out. We've got, as you said, some happy sheet stats that can prove that everyone had a nice day out of the office, and maybe the sandwiches could have been better, or whatever it happens to be. But looking at that impact, and I think the point you make about the fact that you might do it and then 2 years you'll do it again, I've seen a lot of that in organizations where often, a new leadership team will come in and they set out a new strategic direction, and then they go for this, let's sheet dip everyone through this new approach, and then that doesn't quite work, and then they're out 3 or 4 years later, and then someone else comes in and repeats the same stuff. And in essence, often the business becomes really cynical to that approach as well, because they've seen it and that change has glanced off the organization before, and the people who are in the business are like a permafrost that you can't get past, because that management training is never going to have an impact, because they're just waiting for the next initiative to go away and they know nothing's really going to change. So yeah, when we've chatted before, that messaging has really resonated with me.
Yeah, and it's funny, because the other issue is there's no accountability whatsoever for people to develop these skills. I can turn up to this management development and I can apply or not apply those things at my total discretion. I could ignore it all and just go back to doing whatever I was doing before. There's just no accountability for that whatsoever. And of course, even for the engaged learner, you know, what are they going to learn in 3 days? Like if you say, oh, Tom, I fancy learning kickboxing. And you said to me, oh, what I think I might do is I might go for 3 days and then I think I'll be great at it. You know, it's just not going to happen, is it? You're going to have to go, you know, 3 times a week for the next 12 months if you want to get any decent, develop any decent skill level at it. So why do we think that this really difficult skill in managing people, all those other things that go into all those skills that we need when we manage other people and lead other people, why do we think that we can just pick that up in 3 or 4 days? It's mad, really, when you think about it. But because we've always been doing it like that, that's just what we keep doing. So,
and I think there's almost not good reasons. There's very practical reasons for the why that existed, because roll back to the start of my career when you struggle to get people out of the business. And there was I've been there and done it myself. There's a tendency that if we're going to get them for a day, we're going to try and give them as much as we possibly can. So you end up content bombing them and you give them too much and they get a bit overwhelmed. And then you're hoping they go back and do something. And in the same way that, you know, you get someone out for 3 days and, you know, it might be that everything in the past had to be face to face. So if you were bringing people from all over the country, possibly all over the world or just out of an operational business, you had to bring them out, ring fence that time, put them in, and then you had to hope they would create time in their own worlds to go back and practice or implement. And that was where this started. But we've moved in the world such a long way past that we wouldn't ever learn anything else. You know, your kickboxing example, if I want to learn anything else, I'll go on, I'll find it myself. There's so much resource and knowledge available. Yet as this whole organizational learning thing seems to cling on to, for some reason, something that, as you sort of pointed out, is a little bit nuts.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when I learn a lot of, like you said, you mentioned I've sort of come at this from a slightly non-traditional route. I mean, so when I learned a lot of the content that we teach originally came from a lot of stuff I learned around my own personal relationships. And when I was doing that work, you know, I used to like, it's hours and hours and hours of work, you know, I used to have group coaching, one-to-one coaching, like for an extended period of time, very intensive 4-year period. Like what's interesting as well is with that type of learning, particularly where we're learning about ourselves and our relationships and how we interact with other people and all that kind of stuff, is what I found is the learning wasn't linear. So like I would, you know, sometimes I'd hear my coach say something. I was like, oh my God, you said that 10 times. And I just hadn't realized what you were saying. So suddenly the penny drops. And I'm like, oh my God, that's what he was saying all those times. But it's like, it's not a linear process, but it's constant exposure. And as you strip away layers of your own ignorance and you build your experience, suddenly you can hear something that you couldn't hear before. So yeah, that's just the nature of how we learn a lot of this stuff. And I think that's where we need to move to. If we want to develop these skills, we've got to be moving in that direction and away from the kind of traditional method, really.
Yeah, and I love that point. You know, it's, you can't say it once and it's done, which often again is some of the weird thinking that underpins training. Or you'll hear, oh, well, there's a marketing model someone came up with, which you've got to tell them 7 times in 7 different ways. You know, you hear all of these models, but if you said it might just be readiness. I'm not ready to hear that messaging isn't resonating with me at that time. I've got something else to do personally before I get there, or serendipity meant that message has just happened to land for me today. So, you know, I absolutely, you know, agree with what you're saying. And you know, I'm really interested to see the different approaches that you're taking with people and that you've taken from that experience you've had to create something that isn't the sheep dip 3-day go away and hope after the happy sheet. So what is it that you're doing with people that's different?
We sort of have like a 3-pronged attack, really. The first thing is making sure there's some kind of reasonable framework of accountability, and this kind of touches on this point around can people turn up and then not really take responsibility to develop the skills? So we've got to have a way of kind of measuring some method, and it's not perfect, but we need some method of measuring skill levels by collecting data and other ways we can do that, and having some clarity around what good looks like and what the expectation is so that we can measure against it. So that's sort of like some framework type base work that we'd want to do, because that means we can hold people accountable to their skill development. Then there's going to be some initial training, right? Like, you know, we kind of need a certain amount of initial training, so that's fine. And that does look like a more traditional kind of like method of management training. We're going to put people in a room for a few days and we're going to provide some coaching, all that. But then after that, for me, there's a mix of, you know, really, really good access to online content that's really helpful, that reinforces all the training and the content, and really easy, accessible to digest, easy to get. If you're like, oh, what did he say around that one thing again? And you can access it really easily. And combine that with coaching, drop-in sessions, refresher sessions. You know, so you're embedding the learning so that you can get that constant exposure to that same core content, so you can build your skill levels, you apply, you're going to make some mistakes, you're going to mess up, you can get some feedback on that, and then you go again, and that's how you build any skill. So it's like that, you know, that has to be the focus in terms of in embedding the skills. And because we did the bit at the start, people are accountable to develop those skills. So yeah, that's the sort of approach we're using.
And obviously, you know, this has come from a personal experience, and you recognizing that what you might have done in learning is very different to what you've done in developing those personal skills and personal relationships that you're working on. You've then come to sort of create this model. How's that been? Has it been an iterative process? Has it been a bit of test and learn? You know, what are lessons that you've learned along the way that maybe you didn't, expect?
There's been lots of learning, James, if I'm honest. I've taken a particular set of skills, and like, you know, one learning for me was, you know, it's one thing having those skills, transferring those skills to other people in a way that they can hear them and understand it and develop the skills themselves. That's a whole other skill in itself. The other kind of key learning for me was this whole sheep dipping thing. We developed some training, we were getting really good feedback on it, and we delivered this training for this one organization, and it just felt to me like we were sheep dipping people through, and I just wasn't as emotionally engaged in that, because I suppose like I said right at the start, what we're really interested in is helping the organization see a change. I really don't want to just turn up, just be some guy who turns up and everybody just goes back to doing what they were doing before, or it's like, oh, who is he? We want to be able to have an impact on the organization, or help them to have an impact over a longer period. And I think, yeah, that was another big learning for me, was like, you know, I just don't want to be doing that. You know, we want to be having more impact than that. And so that sort of prompted how else can we approach this? And from an accountability point of view, you know, we teach accountability. So I'm like, well, are they really accountable to develop these skills? Well, what would they need to do? And so we slowly work out piece by piece, how would we put together a framework that enables us to measure that capability and hold people accountable to it. So it's very much an iterative process. We've sort of basically piece by piece, we've built this up so that we've got something that is significantly more robust than certainly what we started with.
And I think you're not just taking the learners on that journey of change and accountability, but you're also probably taking the learning teams and the organizations you're working with on that journey as well, because as you said quite early on in the conversation, we're doing a traditional because there isn't another version. So if you're coming along with a new version, I'd really interested in how that change journey has been with your sort of direct clients rather than the people who are learning.
Yes, that's a very good question. I think in the early days, the honest answer is I was messing that up a lot because I wasn't clear on it myself. You know, I was having to work this out as I went along. What I'm finding now is as we're getting much clearer around how this works and the approach and putting it all together, you know, we're finding, you know, if I'm talking to new clients, like they're straight away, they're kind of going, oh God, yeah, this is like ringing bells all over the place. You know, they're like, yes, I recognize that. Yes, I recognize that. So yeah, that's definitely been a journey. And I think I've been talking to some new clients recently and they're like, we love this because it genuinely gives us something we didn't have before. I really don't want to go back to sheep dipping anymore. Yes, there's lots. I think we're pressing on buttons that people recognise. They we're sort of like the elephant in the room, but equally, there's quite a lot of education that we're going to have to go through a lot of education. I think that's the other thing is you kind of don't know what you don't know. We're having to educate people that there is another option out there, and that takes time, which is partly why we're on things like this and helping to kind of spread the message and stuff like that, because how we help people realise whether you work with us or not, you have another choice.
One of the things I've recognised sort of taking people on those journeys of doing learning differently is it's not, as you said earlier, a linear process, because you might get something, you sit and you talk and like you said, it's an elephant in the room. Most people in learning would recognise that this isn't great, but lots of people almost, you know, head down doing it. Well, I'm keeping, you know, I'm delivering, we're doing something, we're still busy, we're still in the job. It's what I've been asked for. And, you know, people are trying to evolve at their own pace or in their own way. But you can have that conversation with someone. It can be really engaging. And we all recognize the problem. We're going to do this and we're going to make it all better. And then you watch clients go off and do some of the things that are precisely the original problem because they haven't quite got what new looks like. And that can be really challenging to help people to be brave enough or to step back from things they're comfortable doing or they like doing. So there's that whole change journey, I think, is really interesting with learning teams.
Yeah, and I think I've really learned that you know if they're not ready, they're not ready, and people are different ready at different points. And a bit, you said it earlier, you like said something like, if I'm not ready to hear it, or I'm ready to hear it when I'm ready to hear it. And it's not just the learning team, it's like the organization. You might have the learning team, it's like, wow, this is amazing, rah, rah, rah. But and then they go talk to the rest of the organization or other stakeholders, they're like, no, we're not doing that. So it is a journey. I think what I've definitely learned is I'm very happy to start where you are at or where you know what I mean? And then that might be a taster session. We just come along, we just come and do, you know, you've got a group manager together. We'll come and spend 2 hours with you and we'll get a bit of a taster around accountability and other things and get you thinking a bit different. And if that's where you're at, then that's absolutely fine with me. And so you can't force somebody to be ready before they're ready. And that's okay, you know. And so it's funny, I've got one client who is sort of like took a bit of a roundabout route to get to the end location. We kind of getting towards the end location, but actually we could have done it a lot quicker, but they weren't ready to do that, you know, do it in that way. And that's fine, you know, that's just how it is. So,
and I think it is about that readiness, and I think that's a really important point, what you adjust that approach, because I've seen it, learning teams get really frustrated because they're so energized and they want to do some things so differently, but their organization isn't ready, or they're not willing to go on that roundabout route to get the organization ready, because it isn't, as you said at the beginning, none of these changes, whether personal, organizational, departmental, are necessarily linear. There will be, maybe the organization gets it on that 10th conversation, if they go, now I can see why you're trying to do this differently. Now I can see why sending my 3 people out and going, I've ticked that box, isn't solving the problem and we're facing the same challenges again. But even though that's patently obvious to maybe you and the first person you're speaking to in the organisation, that takes time to sink in. If we roll back round to personal accountability, because that's got a really strong theme within how you deliver this, how are you delivering that? So you've got the initial sort of assessment of skills or setting of benchmarking, but can you talk me through a little bit more in detail about how you create that accountability?
Yeah, so Fundamentally, it is kind of two things. One is having much better clarity around what the expectation is. So if we're going to hold somebody accountable, what are we holding them accountable to? And the clearer that to is, the easier it is to hold somebody accountable to it. The easier it is for us to assess whether that's where they are or not. And when I say assess, just for clarity, like that assessment is just an objective assessment, right? So I don't want to imply we're assessing them, you know, I'm big brother, I'm going to come and assess you. It's well, if you're a 2 out of 10, that's useful information, isn't it, to know that I'm a 2 out of 10. And if I'm engaged in the process of getting better and you're engaged in the process of helping me to get better, then that's okay if we're both willing to go on that journey. Depending on where I'm at. So, but anyway, so we need to do some work, and lots of organizations will have like competency frameworks and things like that. But I personally, from my point of view, often find that they sort of water it down because they want it to be easy to digest for the business and stuff like that. And then they just take away all the teeth, and it just, you know, it's just like, well, and then it just sits on a shelf somewhere and nobody uses it. Like it should be very much a working document that managers are using all the time to help develop their people, as far as I'm concerned. So that's one piece. And the other thing is collecting data on the back of that. And that can be 360 degree questions tied to those kind of key behaviors or whatever you've got in your competency framework or leadership framework, whatever you've got. Definitely surveying team members, question sets that related to their own manager, as well as the organization. Quite often we ask team members about the whole organization. We don't ask them anywhere near enough questions relating to their own individual manager. So, so 360s, staff questions, all sorts of things like this, we can start to collect more data. It's not perfect. We'll have, of course, sorry, one-to-one paperwork and stuff like that as well. So the line manager has got their own personal view and experience. But when you start putting all of that together, you start to build a much more objective picture around where the skill set is. So that's where we can start to create that level of accountability. Plus, if we've got online content, are you using this online content? We can get managers to self-assess as well. You know, how confident do you feel in having difficult conversations out of 5? Well, you know, I think I'm a 4, or I think, sorry, if you say I think I'm a 2, but you haven't accessed any online content, you haven't gone to the coaching sessions, so, you know, why have you not done that? So, you know, it can prompt lots more questions and accountability around it. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's typically how we might approach it.
So I sort of get that whole data piece. It's just sort of drilling down into that individual, because like you said, your difficult conversations example, unless I believe and really want to have difficult conversations, unless I'm the impact of those difficult conversations is understood and managed, you know, so my team are falling apart, my performance is not happening, I've got high turnover because maybe I've got a couple of toxic people in my team who are seeing off all the new ideas who come in, and, you know, whatever else it happens to be, I need to deal with that and challenge that, or whatever the situation is. It's getting that actual ownership and the desire into people in the first place, because I think that's sometimes a challenge in leadership development, that, you know, why are you here? Well, we're being sheep dipped, my manager's told me. And, you know, I think even with your approach, you're probably starting from a sheep dipping approach, because you've got to set a benchmark, you've got to set a new way of doing things. So it's how you create that real understanding of what that management and leadership role is, because often the organization and the systems and the way we're measured and rewarded and everything else is telling us, actually, it's only the bottom line, or it's only your KPIs on, you know, call answer time or innovation or something else that's measured. It's not actually this bit within the team. So I'm just interested how you've sort of navigating that with people to create that ownership.
Yeah. So I think I would, my thought on that would be, yes, you need all the data, like we've just said. So we need some better, more objective data, and we need to combine that with somebody being managed, right? So somebody's actually having those conversations with you about how you're developing those skills and how you're managing those situations that you just described. So everybody's playing a role all the time, constantly trying to manage the person that sits underneath them, even if they then manage a team, to try and embed those skills, develop those skills. And like one of the approaches, we have these sort of accountability principles, and one of them is zoom in, zoom out. So as a manager, I should be able to have the kind of right level of governance to check that you're doing what you should be doing to the standard you should be doing it. Now, that's actually harder than it sounds, actually. It's probably the hardest piece. But let's say, you know, my governance tells me your team isn't performing well. You've got this couple of toxic members, blah, blah, blah. And if I don't have confidence that you're dealing with that, then I'm going to zoom in. And that zooming in might look like lots more support. It might look like more challenge, depending on the situation. But I'm going to keep zooming in until I'm confident that you're capable and you're doing it to the right standard. And then I can start zooming out again. So the purpose of zooming in is so that I can zoom back out again. But I don't come back out until I'm satisfied that it's being done to the right standard, or that you're on top of it, or I can then start to drop back out again. So that is the requirement of your manager or leader, is to be making sure that is being done properly. So that is just the standard of management leadership that we expect. So those principles would be things that we all sign up to effectively.
So just reading, you know, my interpretation of that is you're doing a whole organizational change, and you can't just go in and hit the middle layers of, you know, if someone says, I want to develop my first line managers, but if you haven't got that happening with their line managers and with their line managers, then it, again, I think that might be why a lot of leadership development fails, because it's not really led throughout the organization, and the people at the top will sit there and go, oh no, we don't need that training, we'll just give it to these people down here, and we don't need to do that stuff. So it's really good to hear that you're sort of advocating, or I think you're advocating, that becomes whole organization approach.
Yeah, 100%. Because, and the risk is that you end up talking different languages. I did that once. I did some training with, it was a team that sat underneath the exec. So and we did this training. They really loved it. We talk a lot about clarity of expectations and the need for being clear about what you're asking for, what good looks like, all this kind of stuff. So we're talking around all this stuff. And then at the end, they were like, what do we do about exec? And I was like, what do you mean, what do you do about exec? And they were like, well, you know, we're kind of talking a whole new language, and they're talking in the old language, we're talking in the new language. So we had a conversation about how they can manage that. But ultimately, you're right. Like, the optimal, obviously, is that it's driven from the top. They know what good looks like as well. Because if they don't know what good looks like in terms of being clear about expectations, how can they hold other people accountable to it? Like, you're going to train them in all these great skills. How can you hold somebody accountable to a skill that you don't even know what they're being taught? It doesn't make any sense, does it? So, absolutely. It's got to filter all the way down. Is certainly the optimal.
In terms of, you are developing this approach, it's evolving, it's iterative. What are the bits that you still want to sort of improve, or what are the areas that maybe have come to light through this journey? You know, you suddenly find this bit and you solve that, and then, you know, there's more problems or more challenges or more depth you can add. So anything sort of on that radar for you that you're looking towards?
Yeah, definitely. So my immediate answer would be the embedding part. So for example, we really want to create some kind of like champions program. We don't probably not train the trainer. It doesn't really fit quite so well with accountability because it doesn't. I don't need to get into that here, but yeah, some kind of champions program, because people that are sticking their hand up going, yeah, this is really good. Like, I want to learn more of this. I want to do more. I want to develop these skills. Those engaged learners that we can have a bigger impact on. There will be a cohort of them in every business, and there will be a cohort of managers who you know, just aren't as engaged in learning these skills. So let's take those change champions, let's do more with them, let's to provide better support, and kind of that definitely will create a lot more momentum within the organization. So definitely want we want to keep building out that and also develop a much broader sort of refresher training type content materials, so we can take what's in our training, come up with additional exercises and additional bits of content, half day sessions, virtual sessions, all that kind of stuff. It's all in that embedding. That's definitely going to be the focus once we've got all of this nailed down, all of the sort of initial training and everything. We're still improving that. The next step will be really build out that embedding piece. I think that will be my answer.
Yeah, I think that's really positive, because, you know, going back to the original challenge we're talking about of this sort of initiative glancing off the organization, and one of my challenges back I often give to learning people is, as soon as we call something an initiative, to me it just says this is not really something we believe in, or not really part of something we're doing. It's something we're doing in response to something else, or for a season, rather than this become the way we do things. So it's really great to hear about you, you know, getting this in, it being whole organization, you working to embed it, and then when the next thing comes along, they don't need to change anything, they just need to further embed it, to build it, to make it more enhanced, rather than to do to something different or new and shiny. It's just work harder and better at what we're trying to do. So I think that's a really positive message.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, it's a lower investment over the long term for the business as well, because you're not having to just sheep dip all, you know, hundreds or thousands of managers to a program every so often. You know, like some of my clients, they're like, this is great, because when we get a new cohort of managers and we've got new people coming into the business, they've never managed people, we can just put a cohort on the standard training and then they go straight into the embedding work. So like you said, we're just constantly trying to develop those skills, build out the skills all the time. And that's a long journey. It takes a long time to build these skills. You're having honest conversations. Often sort of say, you know, if a recovering people pleaser can learn how to do accountability, anybody can. So like I'm confident there'll be people that will see my content and they'll do it better than I can, right? You know, in terms of the execution, because this is all the old fear and baggage we all carry. So it's the practicing that we will you can get lots better with the practicing, embedding the skills, getting support with that. It takes time. So long term, you know, I think an organization is spending less and getting a lot more doing it this way, personally.
And I think they're spending less, but they're investing time. And I think that's really important. You can't take a magic pill and change how your organizational culture is or drive accountability. And too often these things are initiatives, or then there's not enough time or effort or engagement or ownership or accountability, all of those things wrapped up around this. So I think the messaging, you know, is really strong around it's got to be something you drive at. And like you said, it's not about being the best. You know, there will be people who use your approach and enhance it. That's great. You're trying to empower and inspire and drive that change within that organization and clients. And you know, we all know we learn from clients. We put something in and go, oh, that's really interesting how you use that. I'll take that over there. And, you know, we all learn from other people. So, you know, it's great to see you on that journey. If people do want to find out more and get in touch and, you know, talk to you or find out more about your approach and why it works and, you know, some of those case studies, et cetera, what's the best way of them doing that?
So initially I'd say LinkedIn. So very active on LinkedIn. You can find me on there. But also you can go to thepathwayacademy.co.uk. You can reach us on there as well. So either of those two work very well. But yeah, posting regularly on LinkedIn. Connect on there. And that's just a nice way to kind of get exposed to some of the content and some of the messaging and stuff, and kind of find out whether that's a fit for you, whether that resonates with you, all that kind of other stuff. So
brilliant, Tom, and thank you for joining us today, and we'll make sure that all of those links are in the show notes below.
Super, thank you, James.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Learning Reinvented podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've not already done so, please follow our podcast. And if the learning effect can help you and your organization, please do get in touch. You can find both James and Katie on LinkedIn, and our contact details are in the show notes below.